Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
And today we're going to study Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 12. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 12. This is the second of our studies in this book. And we want to be thorough enough so that you can understand what you're seeing here, so the Holy Spirit has some time to work with you on the doctrines that are being taught in Galatians. All right, today we're going to study about the gospel of Jesus Christ, found in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 12. Let's read the text. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men, or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now those are loaded verses there. Those seven little verses there have many things to do because they deal with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, as you are aware, there are many ideas about what this is. But Paul's gospel was very pure. It was very simple. It was very direct, very easy to understand and discern from reading the Bible. It's just that men have gotten in the way now and have added a tremendous amount of stuff to it. And so what we want to do today is we want to look in here at these verses and see the simplicity of the gospel of Christ and see some of the other things that are involved when men get involved. All right, now first of all, Paul's gospel was purely, first of all, revealed by Jesus Christ. We'll jump down to verse 12 and take it in that order and just try to deal with this as kind of a homiletic outline of what we're dealing with here. Okay, verse 12, Paul says, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, the main thing here to keep in mind then about the gospel that Paul preached is that it was revealed to him by Jesus Christ. Furthermore, he wrote down what it was that Christ revealed to him so that you and I today have absolute certainty what the gospel is and have absolute certainty that when we preach the gospel, we are preaching the gospel that Jesus Christ gave to Paul. That's very important. You see, whatever it was that Paul preached that was revealed to him by Jesus Christ, it was a departure from some of the things that had been preached before. And I know that a lot of people have trouble with that because they want to see everything in the Bible concerning the gospel as completely uniform from Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Revelation chapter 22, but it's not. And I'll show you how you can tell that simply now. Simply, we don't want to get into a big dispensational discussion here because you can go way, way, way too far with dispensational truth and just draw yourself completely out of any sense of truth whatsoever. Anything like this can mess up your understanding of the Bible. Let's just go easily. Let's look at Matthew chapter 19 as an example. Matthew chapter 19, here's a real good example. A rich ruler comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he asks him point blank what he needs to do to have eternal life. That is a question concerning his soul. That is a question concerning his eternal destiny. All right, very important. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, the answer that Jesus Christ gives him is very important. He said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, okay, here it is. What is the answer? keep the commandments, period. I mean, the next thing, verse 18, is the ruler asking the Lord which one of those commandments he's to keep. Now that, I'm going to tell you something, you ought to think about what you just read there. What do I need to do to have eternal life? Answer, keep the commandments. Hey, let me tell you something. Doesn't that pose a little bit of difficulty for you today? The Philippian jailer came into Paul in Acts chapter 16, did he not? And he said, men and brethren, what must I do to be saved? Remember that in Acts chapter 16, verse 30? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, keep the commandments. That isn't what they said, is it? Acts chapter 16, verse 31, that's not what they said at all. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Why didn't Jesus tell that ruler that came to in Matthew chapter 19, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house? Well, there's a good reason for it. Christ had not died, Christ had not been buried, and Christ had not risen from the dead. As a matter of fact, his disciples did not ever understand what that was. Even in Luke 24, his disciples were still confused about it, and Jesus was the one that was walking on the road to Emmaus with them. He would have never been able to get that. Why? Because this represents a huge change. This is a gospel. This is something that was revealed by Jesus Christ to Paul at a time when he was ready for Paul to begin to preach it. So there is obviously a change there. Well, what is the gospel then? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What is the gospel? We'll look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at verses 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 to 4 show you exactly what the gospel is. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, but which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, believe something other than the gospel. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. It's the thing that Christ gave him. What is it? How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now when the Holy Spirit, I told you about this yesterday, but when the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ, Romans chapter 6 shows you what that spiritual baptism is. We are baptized with him into his death. We are buried with him, planted together in Christ, and we are raised together to walk in the newness of life. So we actually get into the body of Christ so we can go through his death, burial, and resurrection, and that is why we are totally justified and can no longer be held accountable as far as our eternity is concerned by God for our sins, because we've already been through the same thing Christ has been through, the death, burial, and resurrection. That is the gospel. And this gospel was revealed by Jesus Christ to Paul. It's the gospel that he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he received. What is it? How did that happen? When did Christ reveal it to him? Well, we know that Christ appeared to him in Acts chapter 9, but he didn't give him the gospel there. He just said, go into the town and it'll be told you what you should need to do. And Ananias came in there and he dealt with him and he was baptized and he went on preaching and so forth. He got a little of it then. He knew that Christ was the Savior, but watch what happens here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and, watch it, revelations of the Lord. The Lord revealed to him several times then and showed him things. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. In other words, if people went around talking about how Christ revealed all this to Paul, Paul would get big-shot-itis, and he didn't. He was humble. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. God gave him such an abundance of revelations, he had to give him also a thorn in the flesh just to keep him humble. Notice then he got many revelations from the Lord. And one of those things was this simplicity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and added to that were the mysteries concerning that. things like Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you being baptized into the body of Christ, and the mystery of iniquity, and the mystery of godliness, and many other things that he learned, given directly to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. You got a book in the Bible called the Book of Revelation, and that is a revelation to John by the Lord Jesus Christ, giving a testimony of things yet to come. Correct? Well, why should it be thought of you such a strange thing that Jesus Christ likewise gave revelations to Paul the Apostle, that he would also record for you and I to understand the gospel? Ephesians 3:3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, see how he wrote it? I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. That's why Christ told him, keep the commandments. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's something none of them knew till God had revealed that to Paul. Peter had gotten an inkling of it with Cornelius, but it was creating all kinds of problems. And it was all confirmed by the fact that Paul had received that by revelation from the Lord, that they should all be in the same body. So you see that thing, that gospel, that the most notable thing concerning that gospel is it was given by revelation of Jesus Christ to Paul, and then Paul wrote it down, and you and I can read about it today, and it is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, plus nothing, the finished work of Jesus on Calvary for our sins. Now, notice he says here in verse 12, I neither received it of man, nor was I taught it. It came by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something. That is very important, because that shows you then that men take what was revealed by Jesus Christ to Paul and add to it their strange doctrines and teachings. And Paul said, hey, this isn't a man's gospel. This is Christ's gospel. People like Charles Taze Russell, you'd say, who is he? Oh, he's the father of the Russellites. You say, well, who are they? Jehovah's Witnesses. That thing wasn't given by Jesus Christ to Paul and recorded in the Bible for you. That was given to a group of people who did not like what Paul had to say, and that man that led them into that was a fellow named Charles Taze Russell. Study your history. How about Alexander Campbell? You say, boy, who is he? He's the father of the Campbellites. Well, who are they? They're the Church of Christ, who don't believe in the simplicity of the gospel you've just heard, but add an element of works and baptism and other things to the gospel, and say that you can lose it in order to teach their gospel. That is not the gospel that was given by Jesus Christ to Paul the Apostle. That was given to a group of people who did not like what Paul had to say, and they got that from a man, and they were taught it by a man, and the originator of that was Alexander Campbell. How about Mary Baker Eddy? You say, who in the world is Mary Baker Eddy? That she is the mother of Christian Science. And I kind of like what, you know, somebody said about that. Christian Science believes that the bad things that go on in your body, like sickness and so forth, are a figment of your imagination. A guy was out door knocking, wanted to visit with a fella. He knocked on the door. The little girl answered the door and said, yes, may I help you? Said, I'm here to see your father. Said, well, he's sick. She said, little girl, I'm sorry. You obviously just don't understand your Bible well enough. There's no possibility that your father could be sick. It's just in his head. He's not really sick. He thinks he's sick. I'll come back. 2 weeks later, he came back, knocked on the door. Same little girl answered the door. Said, may I see your father? Said, no, you can't do that. Said, what's the matter? Does he still think he's sick? No, she said, no. Now he thinks he's dead. There you go. That's Christian Science. How about William Miller? There's a man. What did he start? Seventh-day Adventists. How about Joseph Smith? You say, really? What did he start? He started Mormonism, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. How about Origen? You say, Origen? What did he start? Origen started the Catholic Church. In essence, most of the doctrine that's believed by them. Those are all men's gospels. I heard a fellow come to me one time. He said, you know what's wrong with church? You know, denominations? It's got too much of man in it. And there's a lot of truth in that. A lot of truth in that. You see, the simplicity of faith in Jesus Christ, the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, was revealed by Jesus Christ to Paul, given to you in writing, and many have refused to believe it. They want to be taught by a man something God didn't give. The gospel of Jesus Christ, first of all, then, was revealed by Jesus Christ. Secondly, it was preached by Paul. it was preached by Paul. In other words, where he went, he didn't add anything to it and make it Paul's gospel. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians, he gets on the church and he says, you know what, you've got divisions here in your church. That was reported to me of the household of Chloe. And the divisions are coming up because many of you say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am Cephas, and I am of Christ. Paul didn't preach that. He preached a simple gospel that Apollos could preach, that Paul could preach, that Cephas could preach, that's Peter, that Christ could preach, that was given by revelation to Paul. Hey, it's all the same thing. There shouldn't be any divisions over that thing. And we have preached it, he said, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. So he preached it. In Acts chapter 15, you find out what the problem is. In Acts chapter 15, there's a big council going on down there at Jerusalem, and the trouble is whether or not the converts need to be circumcised and whether or not the converts need to keep the law. Acts chapter 15, verse 1, certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren. What did they teach them? Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with him, see he that Paul's arguing him out of that thing. Verse 5, what's the problem? Acts chapter 15, there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. One of them was legalistic, and the other one, they couldn't even be saved. They weren't circumcised. It's kind of like people today saying you couldn't be saved unless you were baptized in water. Paul didn't preach that, and he had to contend with that when he got down there in Acts chapter 15 with that council to help straighten that mess out. The preaching of the gospel by Paul was simply, you got to trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary, and if you do, the Holy Spirit will run you through a baptism, spiritual baptism, into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and you come out on the other side of that thing justified by faith. Romans chapter 5. Read it. Read it. It doesn't have all that stuff to do, that all that added keeping the law, living right, being baptized in water, being a member of this particular church. Notice all these men's gospels I gave you. Russellites, the Jehovah's Witness, Alexander Campbell, the Church of Christ, the Catholic over there under Origen, Joe Smith, the Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, William Miller, Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy. You get talking to those folks, and pretty soon, if they're honest with you, they're going to tell you that they believe only the people that are in their church are going to make it to heaven. Everybody else is going to hell, except for maybe a few accidentals. But basically, theirs is the one true church. You know, you've listened to me preach on this radio for a year and a half. And some of you back when we were on the radio before. And I've never told you once, and I'll never tell you, the only way you can be saved is become a Baptist. There are people in all those religions that are saved, but it's not because they're keeping the doctrines of those men that have perverted the gospel of Christ. It is because they have put their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, plus nothing. And Paul says it doesn't make a difference if an angel from heaven preaches this thing to you. That angel from heaven is going to preach. I don't know if you knew that. I'll just throw this in here, a little added thing. Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 to 7. During the tribulation, there's going to be an angel preaching, and he's going to preach something other than the simple salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Look at this thing. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. What's he saying? Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. You're not going to get saved doing that today. Cornelius did that, and it took Peter to preach Jesus to him before he could get saved. The everlasting gospel following the rapture of the church and keeping the commandments before the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ shows you there are definitely some dispensational changes regarding preaching. And under the age you and I live in, the simplicity of salvation is by faith through grace, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And it's a blood-bought salvation, Colossians 1, 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Strange that modern Bibles would take through his blood out of that, since it is a blood-bought redemption that gets us to heaven. So, the gospel of Jesus Christ, first of all, was revealed by Jesus Christ and not by man. Secondly, it was preached by Paul. But thirdly, it was received by the Galatians. They believed it. They believed it before they got into the trouble that he's dealing with here. We know that because here in Galatians 1:2, we just saw it yesterday, all the brethren that are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Those people were brethren and they were saved. In Acts chapter 18, verse 23, you'll see Paul going through confirming the disciples that are in Galatia. Those men are saved. They received that gospel. Now, following their salvation, the salvation that they got by the revealed gospel of Jesus Christ, it was preached by Paul and received by the Galatians, following their salvation, there were some men who came in preaching another gospel, a perverted gospel of Christ, something that perverted it, was something that changed it. They added an element of works to the law. We're going to read all about that and study all about that here in this book of Galatians. They perverted this gospel, and let me tell you something. This perverted gospel, according to what we're studying here, did some things. This perverted gospel is some things. First of all, this perverted gospel is gospel obstruction. Obstructing, excuse me, I can't even speak. This perverted gospel is gospel obstructing. Look up here in verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So this perverted gospel was actually obstructing the pure, easy work of Jesus Christ through the simple gospel of Christ, and was causing them to remove from Christ and actually preach something else. Now listen, when you got saved, the goal of the Holy Spirit was to conform you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is your predestination. Whom he did foreknow, them he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of Christ, or to the image of his Son. So you're predestined after your salvation to be conformed by the Holy Spirit to look like Jesus Christ. And that is a work that takes place on the inside out. You know, Jesus Christ scathed the Pharisees because they tried to clean up the outside and hope that would change the inside. It will not do it. So Jesus Christ works on the inside, on the soul, and then tries to get that soul to conform to Christ, thereby making the flesh conform to the righteousness of Christ. Never-ending battle. Until you die, that flesh is going to raise some problems in that goal. That's the goal. But this perverted gospel was getting in the way. It was removing them from Christ. It was removing them from the work that the Holy Spirit was able to do in getting them to conform to Christ. And now that thing was getting them to conform to a man, because the man had added his perversions to it. Look in Titus chapter 1, verse 10. Titus chapter 1, verse 10, there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert, that's to overthrow them or ruin them, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments, there it is, and commandments of men that turn from the truth. There you go. So what happened in Galatia is these men were coming in there and had perverted that gospel and had obstructed, therefore, the gospel of Christ. And this was drawing men to start following men and to quit following Christ. Well, that's the most dangerous thing a man can do, and that's what they were doing. This gospel not only is gospel obstructing, it's also saint troubling. Saint troubling, look at verse 7, which is not another, it's not even another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Trouble you, it's a saint troubling gospel. Trouble you. Now, in this case, it's legalism. They're going to try to get these Jews back under the law. And when they had that council, Peter stood up in Acts chapter 15. He set them straight right quick. He said in Acts chapter 15, verse 9, God put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Well, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. So these legalists were trying to put a yoke of the law back on the converts to make them follow the law when even their own fathers and they themselves were not able to bear that yoke. Paul says later in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, he said, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. You're fallen from grace. There's no way in the world you can keep that law. You couldn't do it before you got saved. You couldn't do it after you got saved. And Paul got after him, because these Jews were pretending to try to put the Gentiles back under that thing. Galatians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says to Peter, "When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" You can't force people to follow a man's religion. You can't force people to go back in under the Old Testament. It is a saint-troubling gospel that tries to do that to you. Not only that, it's a preacher-cursing gospel. Gospel obstructing the words, a saint-troubling gospel, a preacher-cursing gospel. Verses 8 and 9 we saw there that if they preach unto you another gospel other than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. It'll curse him. Now, you know something? In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus Christ is dealing with the Pharisees there, and he says, wait a minute. He said, you go around here compassing land and sea, trying to make one proselyte, and when you do that, you make them twofold more the child of hell than you yourselves, which says that you're going to hell yourself. That's why he asks them in Matthew chapter 23, verse 33, you serpents, you vipers, you generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? He's talking to preachers there. There's a group of preachers in Matthew chapter 7. They say, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? The preachers. He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. And the worst and the last problem with this gospel is, it is a men-pleasing gospel. Paul says in verse 10, do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. The men that put you under this kind of gospel have forced you to try to please them, and when you do that, you become a man-pleaser. You can't serve two masters. When you do that, you'll hate the one and love the other, hold the one and despise the other. Jesus Christ got after those Pharisees back there and said, you know what you are? Your problem is you love the praise of men more than the praises of God. And so you'll start seeking approval from men, and you get washed out with God. Well, that's why he's so adamant about this gospel we've studied here in Galatians chapter 1 today. Well, pick it up again tomorrow.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible. Oh.